This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
There was a problem and there was nothing we could do. Audio courtesy of FanDuel TV. It's hard to keep them all together, Tone. It's hard to figure out which one's which. Guardians played on three different TV stations last weekend. Ty Jerome gone. Bye-bye. Tone, thoughts?
So much of this is a stunner to me.
Well, $9 million a year, yes. It's essentially like, I think it's like what? Like 2 years with a third year option, three for 28. It's like, why couldn't we afford that guy?
Hey, we were getting crazy during the season, me included. Like, I couldn't have been further from what actually happened.
You guys wanted to.
Well, when he was.
He was part of the big four. He was part of the core four. Darius Garland, get the hell out of here.
Well, okay, I want to be clear. That was never me. I thought that was some of the silliest stuff during the Miami series.
That's true. That is, you weren't like
but
that.
There were people making a case for Ty Jerome. Like, why do we even need Darius Garland? Let's go find some wings with that money and just roll the ball out with Ty Jerome, who is one of the most efficient guards in the NBA last year. The floater was like historically good. Yep. And he was good in the Miami series, and then the Indiana series happened. And yeah. I didn't think the Indiana series was gonna doom him. Like, I didn't think it meant that he was gonna get some terrible contract. But here we are. I gotta say, take out the fact that he's, you know, a multi-millionaire now. That's everybody in the NBA basically these days. $9 million a year? What was it?
About $9 million, $9.5 million a year, it seems.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we couldn't afford that?
Well, they could. They could have.
Did they want? So there's something getting bandied about here that we got to get figured out. So I don't know which one's which. Because it says, well, because the deal is a third year player option, but. When you first see the contract, you go, we couldn't afford that. And then I'm starting to hear some things. Like, I heard Danny Cunningham yesterday on his podcast saying that possibly Ty didn't want to be here because of playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, and this is the dire situation, and maybe what $9 million a year really dire. But this is the situation of holding on to his contract or holding on to his career. Last year, you have, what, two games where you play, didn't he play two games last season and then he got hurt?
Yeah.
And then he was out for the rest of the year. So he plays two games last year. Then he has the entire year away, comes back, thought he played well this last season. Played well. We had him on the show, good guest, whole deal, nice enough guy. But he played exceedingly well, at least more better than what we thought he was going to do. In the Miami series, you know, people got a little bit crazy, and I know Indiana finished the wrong way. But if we're talking about offering minutes played, it does make some sense for Ty Jerome. Like, hey, I get a little bit of security, but I get a little bit of flexibility if I'm able to play and get more minutes. And then in two more years, I might be able to cash in even more. Because how old's Ty Jerome? It's not like he's been in the league forever.
27.
Okay, so this is not a 30.
He's turning 28 in a week.
All right, but still, it's not a 38-year-old man. And he's, I don't know how much longer he does have in the NBA, so it makes sense for him. The playing time thing, like that, when I first heard playing time, I was like, what? Who gives an F about playing time with what type of money? But it makes sense because you can make more money. And I don't think the Cavs were going to be able to offer him possibly the type of playing time that he was going to get from the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, that all sounds like a great big fat spin to what it is, because I need to know whether or not he actually wanted to be here. I won't cuss him. If he didn't want to be here, I could understand the business side of this in 2 years and betting on himself to a degree and all the other things. Because you can make the same money with the Cavaliers, but is it a better long-term deal with yourself? Is it a better long-term investment to play with the Cavs, who are not going to be able to give you the minutes that probably the Memphis Grizzlies can give you?
I guess I'm really surprised a number of things here. First of all, like, if we have talked about this during the season, basically, if we had talked about this during the Miami series, right? Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks before we ended up having to talk about it, had we have talked about it then, and I would have told you that Jerome is out, Merrill is in, I would have said, oh God, did Jerome sign like an $18 million per year contract?
That's what I would have thought.
If you would have then told me $9 million, I would have said, what?
When they signed Sam Merrill, or when it was reported that they were going to sign Sam Merrill long-term or longer-term, my thought was, okay, well, Ty Jerome is going to be making somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 to $18 million a year. and that they weren't going to be able to afford that with where they're at. And then I'm hearing I see $9 million. I go, well, the Cavs could have swung that. Well, I understand there's penalties probably involved here, but good God.
Well, and in sports talk, I often say, and we went over this with Matt Derry yesterday. What were people saying at the time? Like when they traded Josh Naylor and when there was, all right, a little bit of a reorganization, what were we saying at the time? I want to make sure we know that so we're not doing false outrage later, right? I love to do that in sports.
Well, I can't be outraged if I don't know if he wanted to be here or not. Yeah, so at first I wanted to be outraged, but if I'm hearing, like Mitch texted us last night, and then I'm hearing Danny where they're going, well, he might not have wanted to be here. It's like, well, I can't put a gun to the guy's head and make him sign a contract with the Cavs. So I got to get that figured out. If I figure out that he wanted to be here badly and the Cavs just said no, okay, well, I can use that against you next year if you don't have the type of players that can help. Because as we wake up this morning, I think that a Cavs fan has to wonder, A, are they as good of a basketball team as they were last year?
Right now, right now, on paper, they are not.
Okay, so
That doesn't mean they can't, you know, Evan Mobley takes off.
Next thing, what can they do? Well, that's Evan Mobley. Yeah. What can they do to supplement the roster? That's the other part of it. Now, we can jump into that. We got plenty of time to chew the fat on that. Mm-hmm. But what can they do to help? Because as you look at it right now, what was it, FanDuel that had the odds out? I guess the Knicks have the better odds in the Eastern Conference now to win the East going into next year. Which it's, I mean, I don't know. It's July 1st, so I don't.
And not like any of these teams have material. Like, wait, who did you say was number one right now?
The Knicks.
The Knicks. Who's their head coach?
Nobody.
They're talking to Mike Brown. Apparently,
I don't know if that was a real thing. So I gotta hold back.
Who was it? What? Who?
I don't know if it was real. I don't know.
Well, you might as well say it.
Yeah. What was the rumor?
Tell you if it's real or not.
All right, guys. It was my birthday weekend. Mm-hmm. Not that I really celebrated, but you know, we were out and about. Is Don Staley? Were they really planning on talking to Don Staley?
I didn't even see that.
I haven't heard that.
Mike Brown two times.
Okay,
I've heard Mike Brown is getting a second interview.
Okay, that's the second time. Okay,
New York Post. So said I don't they know talked anything about Don Staley.
The New York Post did. Yep. Well, they're also saying that Deshaun Watson is taking Shedeur Sanders under his wing.
Did they say anything about any mail she has received?
They are talking about Tom Brady and Sidney Sweeney.
If I send a thank you card to Don Staley again, will she coach our WNBA team
probably.
In 2028?
I think you have to.
Guys, this is how I bring winners to Cleveland. You understand this?
It's going to be expensive, but we have the money.
Dan Gilbert's going to go to her, and she's going to go, they have that nice radio guy that sent me that thank you card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the little things.
Think about that.
All this is to say, Kenny, like I cannot
2028.
I cannot believe that one Indiana series, right?
Yeah.
That's everything. Because if that's everything, then we got a lot of guys we got to get rid of.
Well,
if we're going to use, I mean, we had a Knicks series 3 years ago that was disastrous.
That's why
Magic series that they took us seven games. We had no business going seven games with that team. So if we're just going to say, hey, small sample size, we're going to use it to make these determinations on players. And there's a lot of Cavaliers that would be on the way out today.
So if they weren't going to offer him, go ahead.
Well, is there an apron calculator? Because that was the only thing I was hearing about Ty Jerome was and reading things from, you know, weeks ago. And then Daryl would bring it up that if you pay him $15 million, it's anywhere from $60 to $80 million in tax.
But yes, that would have been the case. Owen had
but if you're paying him $9 million, what are the taxes?
That's if they took him on along with Sam Merrill. But if it was a decision.
Either or.
It was a decision. This gets very interesting to me, and I'd love to hear the Cavs.
Either or, but wouldn't people want Ty Jerome?
I thought that would be clear cut. Like, if you would have asked me that at any point during the season, who would you rather have, Ty Jerome or Sam Merrill? Nobody would have said Sam Merrill.
Do you feel like Sam Merrill impacted any winning this year?
I'm sure he did at some point. They won 64.
Do you feel like that? I'm not saying.
No.
I'm sure we can come through a box score somewhere.
By the way,
Sam
Merrill also did not shoot it well in the playoffs. Did not shoot it well in the Indiana series.
They invented something here called the Cavalanche, right? Where they even bought a snow machine. And that was not all Ty Jerome's doing, but Ty Jerome was a big part of swinging that stuff because it's when the bench bunch came in and he led them and they scored.
And there was no drop-off.
Yeah.
Well, I just got to know.
There was no drop-off from Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland when Ty Jerome came into the game. It was limited minutes. And I don't think you want to be handing over your team's like starting point guard.
You guys want to
duties listen, to Ty Jerome?
If you guys want to find out an answer for sure whether or not he wanted to be here, either you can have him on tomorrow. The guy who covers the Cavs for Cleveland.com.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ty Jerome. I'd love to have Ty Jerome.
Let's get Ty Jerome.
We have his number. We can get Ty. We could try to get him on. I don't know if he'll come on right now.
Did we try, Mitch? You have his phone number.
I mean, well, ever since George got traded, he's been persona non grata. Uh-huh. We've been begging him to come on. Maybe Ty would like to come on and explain his side of things if he wanted to. That'd be great. Or, you know what? If you wanted to today, I'll sit out a segment and you can talk to the, for the good of the show, for the good of Cleveland sports fans, I'll sit out a segment and you have the guy who covers the Cavs if he wants to. Because it's very odd to me, and I'm not going to shoot my mouth off about him right now, because you would say, well, if you're picking anybody, you're picking Ty Jerome over Sam Merrill. You're absolutely right. But if he don't want to be here, he don't want to be here. If he feels that it's a better long-term investment for himself to get probably the same amount of money, but also get more minutes to be able to show whatever he can do so he can avoid being either a Euro player or a league minimum player, then fine. Go right on ahead and do so. I can't make him play for the
Here's what
Cavs.
I don't think. I do not think that Ty Jerome passed up a bunch more money.
No.
A player like
so it
Ty,
had to be comparable.
Who had a significant injury that cost him an entire season in the NBA. People thought that was it. People thought he may never play again in the NBA. He was a borderline. Like, he was borderline trying to stick when he got the contract to begin with,
mm-hmm.
When he was finishing up at Golden State. A guy like that's not passing up. Like, let's say the Cavs were offering $3 million over 3 years with a team option. There's no way he's passing up $9 million guaranteed.
No.
Based on what he signed for.
Exactly.
Like, I just can't. Playing time or what? Like, also, you can make the case if you're Ty, like, there's going to be more playing time in Cleveland down the road. Maybe not more than Memphis just because of the Ja situation. You never know what's going on with Ja. But in Cleveland, like, Darius has had his injuries. Donovan Mitchell, they already tried to load manage last year. Who's to say they wouldn't be doing that more? Like, there's going to be playing time for Ty Jerome here. Now, I realize they drafted, you know, Proctor, and they have Craig Porter Jr. Who cares? Like, Ty Jerome's better than those guys right now. I understand Tyrese Proctor is he was a 49th pick in the second round. Like, 49 overall.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. Aramis in West Park. You're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Go right on ahead.
Listen, man, it's dereliction of duty, really. If this is squarely on the GM's back, if he said, you know what, this is the better player, we're keeping him over him, he failed. Absolutely failed. I feel
well,
like the Browns...
Hold on. Just a moment. Stay with me, Aramis. Yep. I ain't going to run you off yet, my God.
Aramis, Ken.
Aramis, you know, I'm
Aramis,
sorry.
Aramis, we've been through this for the last 15 years, buddy.
Well, you ain't been around for 15 years. All right,
I've been
Aramis.
Listening to you since Aramis. You used to do the show in the evenings.
Aramis, yep. Say that sentence again, picking Sam Merrill over Ty Jerome. Say it real quick.
He's the better player. Ty Jerome's the better player. If he had to choose between player one,
if it's common sense to you, why wouldn't it be common sense to Kobe Altman? That's why I have to believe that that Ty Jerome don't want to be here, Aramis.
Okay, listen, I was trying to say, if this is squarely on the GM, if he had to choose between the two players and he made his choice, right, thinking he's the better player, it's on the GM, then he failed. But if Jerome didn't want to be here and the Cavs knew that, then it's no conversation here to be had. He's gone. That's it.
So are they better or worse than they were before?
They're worse.
Yes. How do they get better?
I don't know, Ken. You tell me.
Because, you know, the first thing I think of, Aramis, thank you very much for the call. I mean, where do we get better on the margins? Is it Al Horford at 39 years old? He ain't 40. He's aged like a fine wine. How do we get better on the margins? You know, could Al Horford be brought in and then you move you-know-who, which is, you-know-who people might not know, Jared Allen? Can you finagle something there and put Al Horford there at 39 years old and force Evan Mobley to go, hey, it's time to leave the nest, young man. Let's go.
Yeah, look.
Sink or swim.
Al Horford is the perfect playoff player. We've seen it. We've seen how awesome that dude is in the playoffs. It's just I've also been waiting for Al Horford to fall off a cliff. He hasn't done it yet. So
why not?
Is it going to be this year? Like, that's the only thing with a guy at his age who's going to be turning, he's going to play this whole year at 39. until the 40 finals.
Game one of the finals.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at Kobe Altman or Mike Gansey yet.
He only played in, 60-65 games. All right, he's been semi-durable.
Yeah, that's not bad. If they went and they got Al Horford and we gave up Ty Jerome, like, all right. Okay. I got a lot of respect for Al Horford. He's had a very fine career.
Oh, this third act of his career has been awesome.
Yes. I don't think there's a single person out there that would pick Sam Merrill over Ty Jerome. More on that in here in a moment. The Browns Stadium, it seems, are we on approval now? Are we headed towards a new stadium? I know it's been like, well, you know, we're headed, but are we really headed towards a new stadium this morning?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Mike DeWine, the governor, not only signed this the biannual budget bill, but also did not veto the Browns provision. I'm going through the vetoes as we speak.
Uh-oh. I need to hit that meet the
looks
press.
Looks like some of the arts programs are going to stay, despite what the state legislators wanted out.
Tone!
I'm looking at the different flag provisions that...
Political animal tone.
...that state buildings can display. Ooh. And it looks like Mike DeWine is going to make sure that it's not just the Ohio flag, not just the United States flag, not just the POW MIA flag, but there are going to be other flags you can continue to keep up on state buildings. Ooh. But yes, it looks like he is not vetoing how the Browns were going to finance their new dome stadium in Brook Park. It looks like it's a done deal.
All right. We got what we need for the stadium, and off they go. So 2029 is the first year we have it, or 2030. 2030 or 2029? I forget which was which.
2029.
2029? I thought the lease was up until 2029, and then we get in 2030.
Through 2028, I believe.
Through 2020. Well, you better start. You better hurry up.
Well, the shovel's in the ground.
We got to build the stadium, and you got to build the neighborhood around it, don't you?
If you start by... Even mid-February of next year, you'll be done well before the season of 2029 starts.
Yeah, but if we keep on having average. The weather like we're having right now, I mean, there's going to be how many rainouts here?
Well, you get the dome part built, and then who cares about the rain?
Well, you get the dome part.
You can do all the inside stuff later.
That's a great point. Well, glass goes in last, though. And if it's a glass enclosure, then what are you going to do? You got to wait. Well, you got to wait for good weather.
Here's what I want to know.
Glass, grass, or... Glass.
Nobody rides. No one goes to the Browns game for free.
So this was gonna tap into the unclaimed funds.
Yes.
What if out of nowhere all the funds were claimed?
I claimed my 100. I cashed my check yesterday. $109.
Daryl did too. So what if everybody would have pounced on that, given the exposure and the news that had come out? Then what would we have done?
I think that a lot of those funds are probably unclaimable in some way.
Okay.
Or there's some people just, they weren't watching the news. They're just going to go about their day. That's what they're going to do. And so I'm sure that with extras that are left over.
When we walk past Brook Park, we can go, they've finally been claimed. The funds have finally been claimed.
Yep. Somebody had to claim the funds and they claimed them.
You won't see them when you walk by the schools, but you'll see them when you walk by the Dome Stadium.
216-474-0092. Cavs. Back to the phones. Larry in Cleveland. Hello.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Larry.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand what y'all are saying, but I don't feel like we're a worse team. I feel like they didn't pick Merrill over Jerome. They picked Lonzo Ball and Proctor over Ty Jerome.
Ooh. Tyrese Proctor Lonzo Ball's
listen in. Listen to me, though. Right. You can only pick once or maybe twice in the draft, so I don't really care how they got picked. They went with athletic guards. Ty Jerome is not that. He was getting cooked in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And the Cavs looking at it differently. They went with athletic guards, guys that can fight through picks and stuff. And as far as Sam Merrill go, he's a better shooter, and defensively, he might be better than Ty Jerome. So I'm not really too much worried about it. I don't feel like the Cavs are our worst team. I feel like they're about even, maybe a little bit better, and we'll just see what they do as far as going on with the training.
Sam has never shot the three as well as what Ty Jerome did this year. Plus, Sam can't create his own shot.
I'm not saying that they're picking one over the other. I don't know if they had the choice. How many people have said over the last 8 hours? We don't know if the Cavs actually had a choice in the matter. All right, well, until I find out, I'm under the assumption, as of right, because so many people are saying it, Larry, I'm under the assumption that Ty Jerome decided to go with the money, which is fine, I'm sure the Cavs could have matched $9.5 million a year, whatever the hell it amounts to. the money, but also the minutes, so he can make more money with a player option in two more years, because they have the, it's a 3-year deal, but that third year, I believe, is a player option.
Let me ask you this, Lenny. Like Lonzo Ball,
Larry,
sorry about that. On paper, I shouldn't even say on paper, because unfortunately Lonzo just hasn't been healthy. But I'm with you that if Lonzo was healthy, and it was the Lonzo from like 4 years ago, that is a playmaker, that is a better defender. I'm with you on all of that. He's a creator. I love that in theory. What are the odds we get to there? What are the odds he makes it to the end of the season?
Well, with the way Kenny plays his rotations, if we can get him to be healthy for 15 to 20 minutes, I think that's
awesome.
All Lonzo needs.
It'd be awesome.
If we can get him 15 to 20 minutes and get him throughout the season and get him to the playoffs, then, I mean, it's fair game at that point.
Larry, thank you very much for the call. I would think of the same way. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess, did I misspeak yesterday, Kenny, when I said I would not bet on Lonzo Ball being available by the end of the season? I think that is such a tough bet because it's the knee, it's the wrist. I mean, a chronic situation in the knee. You know, he played 35 games last year, 35 games the year before, 55 the year before that. Just been a tough bet. Again, if he were healthy, like it'd be no question. I would love the prospects
of
having Lonzo.
I don't think they picked anybody over anybody. I think that with Lonzo Ball, one, you needed to facilitate a trade because you had to get Isaac Okoro out of here. It's not working, and that's on Kobe Altman. It wasn't working. He's a fifth overall pick. He's not been good. Okay, there's been flashes here and there of anything, but it's not been worth anything. So you had to get something that has some upside out of a guy that you're seeing the very best that he can offer, and basically that's running around with his arms flailing away. So no one's picking Lonzo Ball over anybody. It's not picking Sam Merrill over Ty Jerome. I would say that 98% of people would pick Ty Jerome over Sam Merrill for what each bring to the floor. Mm-hmm. But if I got Danny and I got others who are saying, hey, man, it's probably going the other way where Ty Jerome decided, okay, well, then my hands are tied in the matter. Until I find out otherwise, because if we find out otherwise that they decided to go with Sam Merrill, okay, then I can watch this season like a hawk. And if Sam Merrill goes out there and sucks up the room and Ty Jerome, with more minutes, ends up being a difference maker for the Memphis Grizzlies, well, then, yeah, I'm going to have to call that out now, aren't I? Cavs fans should as well.
I think the tough part of this, though, is just hinging all of this, because the caller said at the start, like, wait, don't forget about Lonzo Ball. I just get nervous that this hinges on Lonzo Ball being healthy and available come April. April.
That's not a good plan.
That's a tough bet.
Unless you decide to sit him out the entire year.
Right.
I mean, honestly, unless he's... Do you believe in his shooting enough that he doesn't have to get warmed up throughout the season?
Well,
he needs
shooting,
consistent playing time.
He's not been a consistent shooter. He has been a consistent playmaker.
I think it highlights more the lack of market for Isaac Okoro than it does anything else. And that is still, by the way, a knock on the Cavs because they drafted the guy fifth overall. Now, I know that's hindsight, but that's part of the deal. If we do it with the Browns, we sure as hell have to do it with the Cavs. 216-474-0092. Lenny and Lyndhurst, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey guys, it's Evan and Lyndhurst, but my phone is breaking up. I was going to agree with it exactly with the last caller, Lonzo Ball. I mean, when you got him, you weren't going to sign Ty Jerome. Maybe you would still give him the $9 million, but he ain't going to come here and play 10 minutes a night.
No.
I would like to, I forgot my point. It was so good too. Oh well. All right. Thanks guys.
All right. What happened?
I think he lost Trey's thought.
Oh, I thought he said
it eluded
something.
Him.
I thought he said something like there was a fight outside or something like that. I had no idea. I can't say the Cavs are better. I don't know how much worse they are. Again, these are marginal decisions. Now, I'm looking forward to maybe the possibility of, you know, Larry Nance is a possibility there. Al Horford is a possibility there for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, there's things that you can do to possibly bring in guys. The Al Horford thing is intriguing. I know we talked about that in the last segment. I'll say it, and maybe you feel differently about it. If he's playing 60 games last year, and I know he just turned 39 years old. He's long in the tooth, but this is part of it. If I can get something with Al Horford coming here, could then that maybe grease the rail for a Jared Allen move that can help in a position where maybe Ty Jerome wasn't able to help? Well, am I able to do something like that?
Yeah, so it's a great question. The one thing I would caution is that Jared Allen has been like the essence of durability, right? He has been, say what you want about the playoffs and the things we don't like. He is a lock, you know, in the regular season to be able to not just play, but play every single night. So to lose that, be a bit of a gamble on Al Horford, who, like I said, I mean, he's played 60 games back-to-back years, but, you know, 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a strain would you want? I mean, again, you're depending to go into the season depending on Lonzo Ball and 39-year-old Al Horford when you would send your Iron Man out. Again, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
To bring in what?
No, you're right.
You'd be saying to bring in a wing presence?
Yeah, because you would put... Everybody wants to trade Darius, and I keep telling everybody, guys, it's much easier said than done for you guys because you're mad at Darius Garland. Who is going to trade their wing for our undersized guard? And that seems to stop that conversation. But I think you just stopped my conversation there because I'm going to go, wait a minute, I'm going to put my regular season into the hands of a 39-year-old who's been, yes, a durable player for 39 years old, but him and Lonzo Ball, that's a scary proposition for anybody. Now, this is under the premise that if I trade Jared Allen, I'm going to get something back in return. I don't know what that something back is yet, because I think it's easier to trade Jared Allen than it is Darius Garland, especially with the salary and the positions that they play. Because my entire goal, I mean, what's our goal? Our goal is to win, but we also have to thread the needle here a little bit, because our goal is to win. How are we going to win? Well, we have to keep developing Evan Mobley. So Evan's got to rise to the occasion. So when I look at Darius Garland's injury, I say that could be a blessing because you're going to have to run that offense more through Evan than you ever did with Darius now. And then by the time that Darius comes back, he's probably going to have to get used to something like that. So it's naturally going to force your offense to do it. At the same time, if I have Darius coming back and I don't have that option with Jared Allen, well, I'm still going to have a force with Evan Mobley and I can get a savvy vet in Al Horford who's going to be able to help out in the postseason as well. So I'm trying to look at it glass half full, but boy, when you put the ages and the injuries in there, I have to give you a lot of leeway on that because that is a scary situation. We got a new basketball team. It's not the Rockers officially yet. They're taking in a lot of considerations. One, how do we make it work long term this time?
You go and get Caitlin Clark.
She is a free agent in 2028.
You do everything you can to get her or one of the stars, right? It's
summer 26. Wouldn't Juju Watkins be a rookie in 2027, the summer of 2027? Because I said, hey, forget about LeBron. He's old news. Let's go get Caitlin Clark. And a lot of people were sending back Juju Watkins, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know if she's going to be available to you at the time. I think maybe you become a basketball team maybe a little bit too late. I got to see how the years.
Just the easiest way through this is to get a star, right? To draft one of the stars coming out. That would be your best hope because you're probably not getting it in what I imagine. There's going to be an expansion draft because how else are they going to get players?
I don't know how they do it.
You're going to have to take players off existing teams, the ones that are unprotected. So that's a tough way to go. Just ask the 1999 Cleveland Browns.
Okay, well, you got some years to get ready for it. You already have your arena, so you don't got to worry about any of that. And you already have your owner, so you ain't got to worry about any of that. There's also the thought of, like, how do you make the product efficient enough where it brings in fans all the time? I think to a level, when you bring in a fourth team, I think you really have to think of, okay, usually expansion teams don't do very well to start things off. Now, I know that there's such things as the Las Vegas Knights, and there's such teams as, you know, Carolina and Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. They were given a lot of advantages in 1995 to make sure that those things took off the proper way. Maybe the same advantages will be given to the Cleveland team, but I'm not sure if we can count on that. So what do you do? Well, I mean, the price point is going to have to be there to bring people in. I think they're going to have to take a page out of the Cavaliers and Monsters books, which they do because it's the same entertainment company that's still involved. So I think it's going to be a repeatable process for everybody involved. What I wonder, though, and, you know, it's weird how they said it. It's like they kind of, I want to ask Nick Barlage about this, where he had said he kind of wants this to be Ohio's women's basketball team. So the Metro's huge. You're drawing in, you got millions of people living right here in this Metro. But you also have Columbus that I think that they want to stick their finger in and possibly bring some people in from Columbus. Cincinnati's a 4-hour drive. So if you're looking at long drives, what's Indianapolis? 4.5, 5 hours?
4.5.
Yeah. Okay, so you got an extra half an hour, you can go to Indiana and see the Fever. So I don't know, how far away is Cincinnati from the Fever?
Oh, not that far.
So yeah. I don't know if you're getting from Cincinnati. Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh's a possibility to bring people over. Buffalo, I think Buffalo's a possibility to bring people over. So I think that I've seen a lot of, anytime we talk about a WNBA, we get a lot of pushback, you and I. I think there's an opportunity here. I think that there's an opportunity here. But I do want them to have a Cleveland atmosphere. I want them to have that flavor. I think that if you go, well, Ohio, well, you go with all Ohio, what do you really stand for? Cleveland is its own culture as opposed to a lot of the rest of Ohio. It is a very unique city as opposed to Columbus or Cincinnati or any of the other places that you're going to find. I know that there's people from all over the country who just think it's a giant cornfield between Pennsylvania and Seattle, but it's not that way. I mean, we have our very own type of identity here, and I think they got to be careful how they try to do this.
Well, I just imagine, just like the Cavs, the attempt with the Cavs is to draw people from all over the state, and they've attempted to do that. You might not recognize it as much up here because That's not the goal of the branding up here, but they have tried to pull from all over the state. They don't necessarily call it Ohio's basketball team, the Cavs, but they have done a lot in my lifetime to try to do that, and I imagine that'll be the same. So I don't know if the name is necessarily going to be an Ohio thing or a Cleveland thing, but whatever they do, they're definitely going to try to draw. So they'll be putting Ohio State girls on this team every year to try to increase that, I imagine, because, you know, the basketball's gotten bigger and bigger down at Ohio State. You know, the attendance shows that, the TV ratings
women's
show that.
Women's basketball has gotten bigger and bigger. Sure. Men's basketball's gone the other way. Yeah. Here's Nick Barlage yesterday during the press conference with the WNBA.
You know, this is going to be the first women's professional sports team in the state. And so we want this to be the state's team. We want this to, you know, really reach out to the communities we serve from Cleveland all the way to Cincinnati and everything in between to ultimately be a shining beacon of hope for these young athletes.
Well, it depends on who plays for you. I mean, I think that Juju Watkins is probably the next big thing. I don't know if she's going to be as big as Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a force in her own.
Well, no, she's not as big as Caitlin Clark. Nothing's as big as Caitlin Clark.
So if you get Caitlin Clark, well, you're probably, I mean, Caitlin Clark is.
You can make the argument right now, Caitlin. It's LeBron James, Steph Curry, and the next most popular basketball athlete in the country is Caitlin Clark. So, and there's plenty of numbers to back that up, by the way. I know it sounds ridiculous.
Well, no, I don't think it sounds. If you pay attention to everything, I don't think it's very ridiculous at all. I mean, as far as drawing power, selling out places on the road. I mean, what were they not saying during the postseason? How do you tell a star? When we were arguing about Tyrese Halliburton, well, it's guys who sell out arenas when they're on the road. Well, Caitlin Clark sells out every arena when she's on the road. So if you want to talk about star power, there she is. Well, okay, I can dream in one hand and I can be realistic in the other hand. So I don't know if Cincinnati's really a draw, if Cincinnati's that close to Indianapolis. I'm not sure about the geography. I'm not down to either of those places very often. But I think that if you put together a good product, there's at least going to be some curiosity in the 2028 summer of people wanting to come in to see the WNBA. I think that as much as I make jokes about Columbus and us separating from Columbus and the whole thing, it is a market that I think you have to tap into. You have to tap into that market. And the same thing goes with Pittsburgh, and the same thing goes with some of the other surrounding communities as well. So I think that with the way the WNBA is going, I don't know who matches Caitlin Clark in terms of star power. I always think there has to be a good versus evil on whatever side you're on. You know, and they had that in college basketball, women's college basketball. Now, Angel Reese has certainly had a much better month here if anybody's paid attention. But you're not getting that same type of one side thinks it's good, the other side thinks it's evil type of vibe. I think you're feeling like almost an entire league is ganging up on the star of Caitlin Clark. But I don't think you need a good versus evil battle, and I'm not sure if you have that yet. That's something that they're going to have to find.
Yeah,
somebody else is going to have
to fill
that
question You're asking the question, is there viability here? Can this sustain itself without Caitlin Clark?
Team's going to have to figure out a way to stay around without Caitlin Clark, for crying out loud.
And what is fascinating is that you have really smart, rich, very wealthy people, like here in Cleveland, Dan Gilbert, like in Philadelphia with the team of Blitzer and Harris, ponying up five times the amount of money that just Golden State did a few years ago. So their buy-in, their expansion fee was $50 million. It's $250 million to get in this WNBA business. So you have really wealthy people betting on not only women's basketball, women's sports in general. Like, we had said this, anybody that had been paying attention over the last few years, like the explosion of women's sports, it was the next area where these financial people were going to try to pounce on. You saw it with the TV deals. The TV networks have certainly understood this. There's a reason all of a sudden you saw women's basketball and WNBA games popping up all over the place. It's because the networks were like, hey, live sports, and we're betting on women's basketball. The problem was, you saw when Caitlin Clark was injured, the ratings plummeted. So we're still at that very early stage. Even though WNBA has been around for a long time, you're still at a very, very early stage in all of this.
You're seeing the first chance of
people
growth.
Don't know all the players. You did see like that Sophie Cunningham, she became famous overnight, right?
Yes.
So, she gained like literally a million followers on social media. It happened overnight. Now the tabloids are talking about her in every way. So if you get more and more of that, like, yeah, it's not just going to be about the basketball, just like NBA isn't just about the basketball, just like the NFL isn't just about the football. I mean, these people are larger than life figures on and off the field. You know, just ask Travis Kelce. It's not just about the football for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
So that's whether or not the viability of this league is, you know, yeah. Do you have famous people playing on your team? That helps. That definitely helps because that creates stardom.
Listen, what I'm saying is the league's going to be around no matter what. It's always going to be buoyed by the NBA. What I want is for it to not be buoyed because I'm tired of the argument against it. That's what I don't want to have happen, because if we're going to have a fourth sport, I'm pretty excited about having a fourth team in the city of Cleveland to kind of take in everything. And if you want to, I know that everybody gets upset about the Monsters, you know, mention the Monsters. Fine. Five teams in Cleveland. We're a five-team town. But if you get this other sports franchise, I want it to work. I want this thing to work, and I want it to be able to hold up itself in its own entity. Because when we, you know, I'm born in 86. You're born in what, 80, 81? Somewhere 81, in there. Okay. We're both children of the 80s. Most guys listening are children of the 80s or early 90s here. If you are looking at sports then, you had 100 years of baseball history before we came around. 80 years of football history. How many years of hockey? How many years of basketball, for crying out loud? Like, they had their major, major figures come along, and they passed the torch to others. We're just starting with the WNBA. Like, you had the WNBA for 20 years. Caitlin Clark comes around, and I think we're off and running to a different direction. And I think that these people are becoming stars in their own right. So I think if there's any time to get in on the ground floor, regretfully, it wasn't when the first team was here with the Rockers and it failed. It's right now.
Yeah, well, the first iteration of the WNBA was a total joke. It just was. It did not have a competitive spirit about it. There wasn't a real league. Nobody knew who any of the players were. You were papering the arena, the gyms with free tickets. Kids were going to the games. They were playing in the middle of the day on a weekday. That is going to change now. Like, people are actually watching it now. People are spending money on it now. It's now a business. It was never a legitimate business before.